This is the PR Podcast, a show about how public relations helps you tell your story to the world. We talk with great PR practitioners who have the skills, creativity, and just plain savvy to get their clients noticed. Now here's your host, Jody Fisher.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the PR Podcast. I'm Jody Fisher. Thanks for joining us. Well, make sure you send us in your PR podcast plug. You know, we started this because as I like to say, we're as PR people, we're really good at promoting our clients and we're really terrible at promoting ourselves. At least I am. And so I created this to give all of us PR folks a way to promote ourselves. Now, we don't want to hear about necessarily about your 9-to-5, even though that'd be fine. We want to hear about the extracurricular stuff that you do. Did you win an award? Do you have a cool blog? Do you have a great TikTok channel? Do you play the guitar? Do you cook? Give us something, right, that we can love on you, give you a little PR props, and plug you at the top of an upcoming episode. Send it along either to me, Jody@JodyFisherPR.com, or on any of the socials at Jody Fisher or at the PR Podcast. See, there's a million ways to find us. And send us your PR podcast plug. We'll plug you at the top of an upcoming episode. Now on for our show for today. Boy, we have a terrific guest for you. Harry Heydrich founded Crackle PR to help grow companies in an efficient and cost-effective way using creative strategies that, well, crackle. He is a big idea guy, a spitballer, a dot connector. He's worked alongside a who's who of Silicon Valley companies and tech startups on media relations strategy, media training, and crisis communications. Names like Bing, Google, Yelp, Logitech, you get the idea. I first came across him on Twitter. Are we still calling it? I'm still calling it Twitter. When he signed off with a tweet with the phrase, "This is the way," that caught this Star Wars geek's attention. Parry, welcome to the PR Podcast.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for having me.
All right. So let's get the Star Wars stuff out of the way right up front. This is the way. Are you a Mandalorian fan?
Well, I certainly am. And the audience won't see what I'm going to show you now, but this is a huge at on my wall in my rec room.
So look at that thing.
So yes, very much a fan of it. And more importantly, as it relates to the "this is the way," it really just feels like a guttural mantra, like follow this because it is the true north. And I sign off with just about everything that I do with "this is the way."
I could not agree with you more. And for fans of that show, even if you're not a Star Wars fan, I think, like you said, you can appreciate, you know, it's just this affirmation, right? It's like, we all agree on this. This is the way. That's right. So great. I love it. Tell us a little bit about Crackle. I mean, I've looked at your website and obviously I follow you on social media. A really interesting company. How'd you get started?
So Crackle was born in the bowels of the pandemic. You know, like a lot of people, I was staring at the walls of my house when we were all sort of sequestered. Everybody was working from home and the world was kind of falling apart, not just with COVID, but there were riots in the streets everywhere and just craziness generally about race and all these crazy things. And I just was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be good to reinvent my relationship with PR now and build it in such a way that it was only to work with good companies. In other words, contributing to the positivity in the world and not to more of the negativity that literally is surrounding my whole house and my whole world right now. So that was the genesis. Like, hey, what if I start a firm that only works with demonstrably good companies? And then I took that a step further and said, well, and what if I'm more concrete about it and said, I'm not going to work with jerks or ASS holes anymore, because I've done plenty of that over my 20-year career. So in addition to not having any clients who are jerks, we also don't have any employees who are jerks. And that really is the ethos of the company. Good work for good companies with good people doing good stuff, full stop. So
I am totally on board with that. And yes, this is the way, because I feel the same way. Life is too short to be working with people who, let's just say, complicate things.
Yes, correct. And when I was working for other people building their PR agencies, I didn't really have the luxury of walking away from business that maybe wasn't, you know, my cup of tea. But as founder of Crackle, I'm able to do that because if the boss gets mad at me, I can just go look in the mirror and say, it's your fault, pal.
Is it that guy that our bosses, they're tough, but they're also wonderful people to work for, aren't they?
Exactly. Right.
So what types of industries are you working? I mean, we ran down the Silicon Valley stuff, the tech stuff. Is that where most of your business sits, or is it other stuff too?
Yeah, it's mostly B2B tech. So I just to back up for a quick second, I spent 20 plus years growing a couple of the largest privately held tech PR agencies in the country. So Shift Communications, I was VP of marketing at Shift for many, many years before it was acquired for, you know, untold millions. And then I was also VP of marketing at Matter Communications, which is now one of the largest privately held agencies in the country. And so my pedigree is very much B2B tech. And that same sort of ethos is in the new company now, but we're a much different model, right? So we're fully distributed. I don't have any offices. I don't have any real estate overhead. But what that allows me to do is hire the best people wherever they happen to live, not just people within a 30-minute radius of my office. So I have people all over the country. We are fully national, but I don't have any of the real estate debt that a lot of traditional agencies are saddled with.
Yeah, that definitely helps a lot. And it definitely helps you put the resources where they belong, which is the people and the intellectual capital that you need to be leveraging.
Yep.
How big is your team? You got...
Sure. So we have 15 people. We have 10 full-time employees and then five really senior consultants that I bring in to fill gaps as needed.
And is it earned media? Is it social? Is it owned? I mean, what are you focusing on?
Earned for sure. We do a ton of, you know, the media relations that you would expect. We also manage a bunch of social and even do things like helping the C-suite write their LinkedIn strategies, for example, and their actual posts. Mm-hmm. And then we do a little bit of content development for some of our existing clients and then some one-offs as well. So I would say heavy on the writing, heavy on the media relations. And then I'm personally a media training guy. I have media trained the C-suite of some of America's most beloved tech brands. And I still do that for our existing clients.
That's great. PR, when people think of PR, they mostly think of media relations, right? But PR isn't, as we know, not just limited to that. I find that it's more encompassing to say that PR is all about communications and sort of telling your story to the world in whatever ways that you can do that. Where's the landscape? Is it shifting away from earned? Is it more into owned? I mean, how are you counseling your clients to use PR and their messaging capabilities?
It's a great question. So I guess what I would do is start in the following way. So PR 101 is the stuff that everybody knows about, right? So it's like, hey, you have a product announcement. Let's write a press release. Let's, you know, pitch out X number of reporters, knowing that some amount of those people will cover it. We'll count up all the impressions and then report back to the client and say, hey, didn't we do a great job? So this is, my house is falling apart. So that's kind of the 101 stuff. And you know, we do a lot of the same stuff that most agencies do as it relates to press releases, media relations, except we try to do it in a highly targeted fashion, right? So for us, less is more. Give us 10 of the exact right people that should care about your news. And don't do the spray and pray nonsense that has given PR a bad name. So that's PR 101. We do that like everybody else. Nothing special there. What I think is different about the PR landscape and what Crackle has kind of earned a reputation in is what I am calling PR 121. So it's all these disparate groups like podcasters like yourself, like LinkedIn, like Slack channels, like Discord, on and on. All these sort of small pockets of influence that a lot of agencies don't have the time or the wherewithal to do the spade work to get in front of. And so I really think that it's a combination of PR 101 and PR 121 that in aggregate can really build a halo effect over your brand in a way that just the 101 stuff can't. So to answer your question, I think it's some of the old stuff is going to be around for a long while. Press releases aren't going away anytime soon, although I hate them with a passion when they are a waste of time. But having said that, it's finding your audience wherever they live now and finding ways to add value to those communities so that engenders goodwill for your brand. So I think that's the way that PR is heading.
Full agreement there. Do you find particular strategies resonate with particular types of clients? Is there sort of a delineation between a particular type of client and the type of strategy that makes a lot of sense for them? Or is it too bespoke to put into those type of categories?
You know, it's the full gamut. Honestly, we still get prospects that come in, and when they talk about PR, they're really just talking about media relations. And so We have plenty of clients that we do a great job with media relations. That's great. We have other clients who read a lot of what I write about on platforms like LinkedIn, and they are intrigued by the new way that I'm discussing PR and the new avenues they can explore. And so a lot of times what I hear is, you know, we don't want to just go with a press release and pitch strategy. We want to go deeper and actually build relationships with our audience. So it really does run the gamut. We have an absolute, ton of traditional B2B tech clients that want to do pretty much the one-on-one stuff, but we are always fighting to have them stretch their minds into the new ways of doing PR that, again, in aggregate, build that halo effect over your brand. That's just really, really challenging to do if you're just pumping out press releases.
Are there some of those strategies that you think resonate or you think are growing in stature, you know, in the coming year, 2024? I mean, you mentioned things like Discord, which is traditionally like a gamer platform. How are people using those types of maybe less known vehicles, platforms to connect with the audiences they need to be connecting with?
Yeah, so I refer to those platforms as dark funnel, right? So you have the Discords and the Slack channels where people who are like-minded will share experiences, they'll bond over their profession, and yes, they will, through word of mouth, recommend the things that they're trying and doing and work well for them, which is why the whole marketing game is challenged when it comes to attribution. So to back up for a second, most websites, when somebody comes to their site, they'll be like, how do you hear about us? And there'll be a pull-down menu. Was it a webinar? Was it a sales conference? Was it, you know, these four things that sales can claim responsibility for? But what if it was just an open field that said, tell us how you heard about us? What you'll start to see is things like, heard you on a podcast, saw you in a LinkedIn post, someone was mentioning you in a Slack channel. These dark funnel forms of lead gen are not attributable to the traditional standards. And so when I talk about the new way of doing PR, I'm also hoping to get marketing to think differently about how they actually attribute the success of PR, which is really, when you think about it, the holy grail that PR has been chasing forever, which is how do you map the one-to-one correlation between a story, between a podcast, between a, you know, LinkedIn post to revenue? And what we're trying to do and trying to say is you can map it. It just requires an extra layer and it requires more work.
Yeah, absolutely. And measurement has been the big bugaboo of our industry for decades, right? Yeah. And we're still trying to wrap our arms around how you do it. And I think the problem there too is what you're talking about, which is every client measures success in their own way. And so there is no one size fits all, whether it's ad value or impressions or, you know, on and on and on. There's no one way to measure all of the impact of PR, because like you said, it's coming. And I love that phrase, dark funnels. It's coming from lots of different places. People hear about you from lots of different avenues where they're living, their ponds that they're in. But eventually all those ponds, oh boy, I'm going to try to pull an analogy here, funnel into one big ocean, right? Where suddenly your cash register is ringing, but they're coming from lots of different sources.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And to kind of dovetail into the question you asked, which is what sort of platform or avenue do I see being a big deal in 2024? I would just say I'm living proof that LinkedIn in particular is and will remain a powerhouse and a wildly underutilized platform for developing goodwill, developing revenue, developing partners, developing employees that all come inbound if you play that platform right. So I'll give you an example. In the almost 3 years that we've been in business at Crackle, I've done zero outreach for new clients, zero outreach for new employees. It's been 100% inbound based on the value that I add to that platform by talking not about myself, but about the industry in general. And so people like it when there's a truth teller out there telling the good, the bad, and the ugly about everything that they experience every day. And what that does is it engenders trust. And by the time people reach out to me, they say things like, I feel like I already know you because I've read your stuff for so long now. And then we get right down to the nitty gritty first versus the whole dog and pony show and the nonsense that usually accompanies a first touch. So we're already 75% of the way toward closing the deal, toward hiring the employee, toward establishing the partnership, because they already understand my ethos, how I think, how the company operates, what we value, what we don't. And so in that regard, it's vetting on steroids if you play your cards right on that platform.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And I've had the same experience in just the 8 months that I've been running my own PR agency, you know, agency of one guy, but still, I've done zero outbound and I've had the same experience where I'm talking about PR on all my channels. I'm leveraging that knowledge. I'm passing along sort of a philosophy about how I work and what I do. And I get the same experience. You know, people come to me and they're like, hey, I saw your stuff, right? From wherever they saw it. You're creating evangelists there.
I think just to not to interrupt, but I think it's a mindset shift that a lot of people are still trying to wrap their heads around, just as they're trying to wrap their heads around the idea of ungating their content on their website, for example. For a long, long time, they're like, wait a second, if you want access, you need to give me something, email, you know, all this stuff to get value. And what I'm here to say is, that's BS. That's crazy. Don't make people jump through unnecessary hoops. Oh, and by the way, on platforms like LinkedIn, ungate your brain and give away what you know for free by posting every day about what you care about and what matters to you. And people appreciate the fact that they're getting unique insights into the company, the person, the entity, et cetera. So don't gate your own thoughts. Don't gate your website. Ungate it all.
I love that. I love that. Are there different types of clients? I know you said you work in B2B tech, but are there different types of clients that are best suited for PR? I mean, I have thoughts on that, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I think generally a couple things are true. So we tend to work best with companies that are in mid rounds, like B rounds, C rounds of funding to public companies, that area. We definitely work with startups too, but in order to be successful as startups, you need a couple of things. You either need customers who are willing to talk about the efficacy of your products and services, because you know reporters aren't into fan fiction these days. They want the receipts. Or the other thing is, if you don't have customers who can talk because of the sensitivity around what you do, let's say you're in financial services or security or whatever, then what you can do instead is have fun with data. What unique proprietary data are you sitting on as a company that we can package up and make interesting for reporters and, more importantly, their audiences? So you either need customers or you need data. Ideally, you have both. If you have neither, you're going to have a real hard time.
Yeah, I frequently use the phrase that I'm your carpenter. I can build you the house, but you got to bring me the wood. You got to bring me the tree. You know, I can't make this stuff up. And you're right. I think a lot of clients, a lot of companies are so close to their own businesses that they don't see the stories that are embedded there. And that's how we can help them and guide them to potential stories that can grow their brands, that can grow their and elevate their profile. Out there in the wild to eventually beat a path to their cash register.
Well, and I think it everything we're talking about, it makes sense, but it's kind of secondary or sometimes tertiary steps to what I think is the most important thing in all of this, which is to be successful and to have a strong PR program, you really need a powerful and strong strategic narrative as a company, right? So we talk about storytelling all the time. There are a lot of elements to that, but I think most important is this high level strategic narrative that everybody internal to the company feels great about and wants to run toward. And everyone external that hears that message says, holy crap, this is a movement that I want to get involved with. I want to be a part of this, because this to me represents the new game. Everything else that I'm seeing is old game, and I don't want to be playing the old game in today's highly competitive world. I want to be playing the new game. I'm throwing down with these guys. And if your strategic narrative is capturing the imagination of those audiences that way, then it makes everything else that your PR team, your marketing team, your content team that much easier, because it's defensible and it's real and it's bigger than the parts of the components.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. Hey, I wanted to get your input on a question that's been floating around my brain for a little while. And every once in a while, you get these emails and clients come to us with these emails. Hey, someone said that they could wrote to us and said that they could guarantee us press in and they run down a whole bunch of big outlets. What are those emails? And give me your thoughts on them.
Yeah, so I rail against this kind of thinking on LinkedIn quite a bit. And I always do pithy things with it, like, yes, we can guarantee press with an ad. It's called an ad. And that's exactly what we're really dealing with here. Are these people that guarantee all this stuff, they're talking about sponsored posts or contributed articles that they pay for. So you're paying one way or the other. It's just not earned. It's not earned media. So these people can guarantee you the moon and back, but they are not earning the media coverage, which is what really drives drives the market.
Yeah. Is there any value in that stuff at all? I mean, certainly there's a value in advertising, right? There's value in buying ads and whatever platform you want to be on. But is there value in that kind of stuff at all?
Yeah, I think there is value, particularly if people don't realize what they're seeing is sponsored and paid for, if they think it's earned. But there's something inherently flawed with that. In my mind, it's kind of deceitful and kind of trickery, I guess, for lack of a better word. So if you really want to make progress by tricking people into thinking that it's legitimate coverage, then that's on you. So it can be powerful. It can help with things like SEO too, for example. So you can be found a little more easy with branded search. Like, there are some attributes that make sense. But I think in the final analysis, there's really not much argument that actual earned media trumps any sponsored or paid for posts that you could do by a mile.
Agree with you there. Let's end on an up note here. What's hot for 2024? What's going to move the needle for earned media and for PR in 2024?
I think a couple things are true. So I guess I have to talk about AI in the sense that everybody is talking about AI, and that's it's not going away. It's getting more prevalent. I think what's going to be hot in the PR world in the coming year is an uncomfortable subject, actually, especially for a lot of the conglomerate PR agencies. And by that, I mean, they still operate on an hourly billing model. And so that makes sense if you want to make as much money as you humanly possibly can. It doesn't make sense in the age of AI when an account coordinator can do in about 20 minutes what used to take 2 weeks in terms of research and all of that. So you tell me how that account coordinator or that account executive is going to do their billing at the end of the week when they spent, you know, half an hour to an hour using AI to do most of the work that you would need to do in a week. So I think the world is going to shift toward a value-based model instead of an hourly model. You're not paying us for the hour we just put in. This isn't an output input thing. What you're paying us for is the 10,000 hours that we've earned in the trenches, learning how to ply our trade and earn our craft. That's what you're paying us for. Just like any other highly skilled profession, you're not paying for the hour. And lawyers are going to go through the same type of thing, because all of the research and all the law clerks are going to be able to find in seconds what used to take weeks or months to do in the past. So everything that's in professional services, of which PR is a part, is going to have to move away from an archaic model to the value-based model that I'm describing.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. We're like peas in a pod here, Perry. This has been a great conversation. I appreciate you spending time here. We're going to segue now into the rapid fire question portion of our podcast. This is where we steal a page from inside the actor's studio, ask our guests a series of rapid fire questions meant to elicit a simple answer, maybe a laugh or two with your indulgence. Perry Hedrick, here we go. Rapid fire question number one. What is your favorite news source?
The New York Times.
Love it. Nothing takes its place. Rapid fire question number two. What's your favorite social media platform? May have already answered that question.
Yeah, LinkedIn by a country mile.
There we go. Rapid fire question number three. Coffee or alcohol?
Coffee in the morning, alcohol on the weekends.
There we go. Rapid fire question number four. What is your favorite on the run food?
Ooh, if I can pop in and find spicy noodles somewhere quickly, I will grab that.
Sounds delicious. Rapid fire question number five. What do you want to be after you finish this career?
I want to wander the golf courses of America looking to break par.
That's a great goal. I'm with you on that one. Do you have a favorite course that you played?
Well, I'm a member of a course in Haverhill, Massachusetts called the Renaissance. And so that is my favorite course.
All right. Well, Perry, again, thank you so much for spending time with us. Really great to talk with you here. We'll continue the conversation online. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please remember to subscribe to the show. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at the PR Podcast, and send us a question or a comment. Our intro is by Christopher Apple. You can find him and his fantastic photography on Instagram at Christopher_APPOLDT. Check him out there and hire him for all your photography needs. You can find me online at Jody Fisher on all the socials and on the web at jodyfisherpr.com. We'll see you next time on the PR Podcast.